Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's AEW Dynamite on TNT.
Well, Joel, you know, I was surprised to be able to book you tonight, given that the Cody Rhodes reality show is airing right now as we speak on TNT.
Oh, man. I know. I mean, I had to rearrange some things. I mean, I'm going to have to find some time to watch this. I mean, I've been looking forward to this for weeks now, Zach. Come on.
Yes. The Rhodes to the Top is the premiere right now on TNT. I can't believe we just shamelessly plugged it, but kind of an interesting hook at the end. You know, the Sammy Guevara becomes the TNT champion, beats Miro clean in the middle of the ring. And, you know, they kind of, I don't know, Joel, they kind of used that as a bit of a hook to stay with TNT and that show, because they revealed there that, hey, you know, Sammy Guevara is gonna speak at the first break of Rose to the Top. So not even shying away a little bit from trying to promote that show and getting, you know, the AEW audience over there. With that said, Joel, Sammy Guevara, new TNT champion, he beats Miro clean. I know I've got a handful of thoughts on this. I thought, you know, it was a really good match. I thought the match was good. I thought that Sammy really, from a personality and character perspective, I think he's got a little bit more to go in terms of developing kind of that babyface style. But in the ring, though, man, I mean, I think he's just a really good babyface wrestler with, you know, his moveset, the way he can sell, the way he can drum up sympathy. I think that all, you know, is really shining from a babyface perspective. And when he is able to kind of mirror that babyface character with that ring style, I think it's going to be, he's going to be, you know, even more over than he already is. So I like the match. I don't have a problem with them going to Sammy Guevara as TNT champion. I kind of think they missed the boat a little bit tonight, though, on having Guevara speak at length about what it's going to mean to him for him to win. I mean, I know he had that little backstage vignette, and that was fine. But if you're going to do a title change, Joel, I thought they would have maybe invested a little bit more in telling his story a little bit. So, you know, maybe that's nitpicking, maybe it's not. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, with the Guevara win, I mean, I was surprised and I also wasn't at the same time. You know, I knew that they wanted to leave off the show with a good, happy ending. Obviously, Rhodes to the Top, they're in Rochester. They wanted to do a tribute to Brody Lee, so they wanted to end it with, you know, a real feel-good moment for that. And you also heard MJF say that earlier in the night, you know, that the four pillars of this company of the future is Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and himself. You know, so, you know, obviously Sammy Guevara is someone who's going to be a future star for this company. But, you know, as I'm watching this match, I think that, you know, Guevara looks amazing with all his high flying, his athleticism, his selling against Miro. But there's still something that just feels like it's missing from him, you know, as a babyface. I mean, I'm watching him in this match and I'm like, man, Sammy just feels so much better slotted as a heel. But to your point, Zach, where it's like his in-ring style, you know, he could wrestle as a babyface with everything that he does and his mannerisms. But as far as that character development, I think that they've really kind of missed something there where it's like it's still really kind of ambiguous. You know, is the inner circle still together? I mean, they kind of had a big, you know, curtain call, you know, hugging with each other at All Out. And, you know, Jericho is still hanging around with Jake Hager, but, you know, it still feels like that's a little bit unresolved there. And so I think I would have liked to have seen, you know, more development as Guevara as a babyface and, you know, heard from him, just like you mentioned as well, and really give us a reason as to, like, you know, what is his mission, you know, coming out of the inner circle, you know, not just being the guy who's got, you know, the creative signs during the commercial breaks and now he's hanging around, you know, with Fuego del Sol. So, Yeah, I just think that there's a missing part of Sammy Guevara, but I hope now that he has the TNT Championship that they're going to circle back to that and really work on his character going forward.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say it's rare when this happens, but sometimes, you know, when you put a guy in a position to hold a championship, whether it's a world title or an intercontinental title or that, you know, a second tier title of some kind, you know, that belt can be the news story, either heel or babyface. And I think, you know, they can lean into that here with, hey, you know, Sammy Guevara develops the babyface character around being a fighting TNT champion. Now, I mean, that's the thing that I'm with you. Like, that's a little bit disconnected because, you know, Guevara as a fighting valiant champion doesn't, like, on the surface, when I say it out loud, I'm like, that I'm not sure that fits, like, just his genuine personality either. Like, from a charisma standpoint, like, that doesn't seem like that story really connects with him. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with him on this. I mean, what's your expectation for him as a champion? Because I think it could go two ways. It could go where they lean into this title reign and you know, they go with Sammy as TNT champion. I think there's a possibility that he can kind of just be a short-term champion and somebody for another top-tier heel to overcome. Maybe even Miro, you know, gets it back at some point. We'll talk about him in a minute. But what trajectory do you think they're going to go in here with Sammy, and what do you think is most effective? And maybe those two aren't one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, it's hard to say because it's like, you know, Sammy just doesn't come off to me as that, you know, underdog champion, you know, who's always going up against the odds, or, you know, just the you know, how Cody Rhodes did, you know, as the guy who's willing to take on any and all challengers. I mean, just the way that he's developed just doesn't, you know, feel that way. So, I mean, to me, at this point in time, and of course, the follow-up is always key to all of these things. But to me, it seems like this is probably more likely a shorter championship reign. Maybe it's a transition to somebody else, or maybe it is back to Miro. And then that's really when we start to kind of see him, you know, become more of the baby faces that he was triumphant. He won the championship, lost it, and then that kind of builds the story of him trying to win it back.
Yeah. I'm with you. The him being a fighting kind of underdog, white meat babyface champion just doesn't jive.
Right.
I think they have to, you know, find something else or another layer of his of the personality of the character and take it a different direction. So, you know, I am not currently watching TNT, so I'm not going to be able to see that promo or whatever he does until a little bit later tonight. But I think it'll be telling. I think we'll kind of hopefully we'll get some kind of sense of the direction they're taking things with him. On that note, Joel, what about Miro? You know, I think this TNT championship run here very much repaired his standing in AEW. Mm-hmm. And he went from kind of a side act and comedy figure, you know, the same place on the card that he was as Rusev at the end of his WWE run. You know, he kind of landed in the same spot when he came over to AEW, but this championship run, I think, you know, found his voice a little bit, his heel voice, his voice that you can hear, you know, in the main event picture at the top of the card. And so it really repaired his act top to bottom. I think he found, like I said, his voice. I think he has a presence now. I think the promo style that he used in AEW with the backstage vignettes and the Redeemer gimmick. I mean, I just think it all came together for him with this championship. Now he doesn't have it. Where does he go?
Yeah, I think this really opens up Miro for a ton of different possibilities. I mean, there's, you know, any list of baby faces, you know, on this roster that he could face. I mean, even somebody like Jungle Boy, you know, depending on where things still stand, you know, with Adam Cole and the Elite, I think that's another direction you could go with him. But really, I think the place that a lot of people want to see Miro go is just like you mentioned, is that he's really redeemed himself. He is the Redeemer. And he's really, you know, morphed himself into the eyes of Lesnar fans that they see him, you know, as somebody that they want to see really see his matches, because he's proved himself to be a really effective character, a really effective worker in the ring. And I would like to see him kind of bounce out of AEW for a little bit. Maybe he's one of those guys that they send over to New Japan, and he shows up on New Japan Strong and starts working, you know, with some of those Japanese wrestlers, and eventually, you know, makes his way over actually into Japan. And I think that would give him a lot more credibility, you know, hanging out over there for a little bit, you know, mixing with some of those opponents, and then coming back to AEW would freshen him up a little bit.
Yeah, that would be something. I mean, the I know the G1's going on right now, but Miro in the G1 would be something someday. I think that'd be real interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly an avenue. I mean, definitely an avenue to kind of, like you said, build credibility. I think maybe he can even, you know, get into you know, if he wants to kind of flirt with the main event guys of AEW. I mean, John Moxley could be an interesting opponent for him, you know, non-title type feud. And, you know, depending on what happens with the world title, Joel, you know, if at some point it's going to go to Adam Page, you know, he's going to need a slate of top heel opponents to run through. I mean, and I think that's really, really key for Page. And I'm not, you know, saying that Miro is a guy that can be in that spot quite yet, but he's certainly on his way. And, you know, 6 months from now, you know, I think that should be a project for Tony Khan. Like, hey, how do, you know, we got to get Adam Page some challengers. Obviously, you know, he can run through the elite guys, Kenny Omega. Adam Cole is a good opponent for him, you know, of course. But, you know, at some point he's going to have to leave that story. And, you know, Miro could be a guy waiting on the other side if booked properly as a title challenger for Page.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he's one of those guys who's very quickly rising up in the ranks that you can see him. You know, maybe he's not yet, you know, that pay-per-view main event against Hangman Page, but I think by the time we get to that point, we're going to have a much clearer picture, you know, where he stands on the roster. But of course, yeah, we want to build up, you know, more heels if it is going to be actually Adam Page who's going to take that championship from Kenny Omega. You know, like you said, that he can run through a lot of the elite. You know, Andrade is somebody that they've continued to protect. You know, and then eventually, you know, he can get to someone like Miro, and maybe that's, you know, a special Dynamite main event or something along those lines. But I really feel that Miro, even though he lost the championship tonight, he's still on this upward trajectory.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Well, lots of other stuff to get to. I want to get to the Cody stuff with Arn Anderson. We got a confrontation between Bryan Danielson and Elite that I want to make sure we talk about. But we'll let the callers kind of lead the show here and pause for a quick second and introduce the show. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the September 29th, 2021 edition of AEW Dynamite. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Haydorn. I'm filling in for Wade. He'll be on the VIP side of things with the Wade Keller Hotline a little bit later this evening, running down the show with full analysis on the VIP side of things. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. If you're interested in checking that out, PWTorch.com/GoVIP. You can learn all about VIP membership and the Wade Keller Hotline and a host of other VIP podcasts by just a tremendously talented team of podcasters. There's something there for everybody. So PWTorch.com/GoVIP for more info on that. The other voice you hear with me tonight is that of Joel Donnell from PWTorch.com. Joel, great to talk to you, as always, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Zach, and I'm excited to talk about Dynamite here. It just feels like every show that has just been, you know, solid, great stuff, and so tonight is no exception. I mean, we kicked it off with tons of stars coming out here. I mean, the first 30 minutes, I mean, just great stuff, but, I mean, it's a stacked show to talk about.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, you know, that first 30 minutes, I mean, if you would have said, you know, 18 months ago, first 30 minutes of Dynamite, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, right, Adam Cole, like, I would have said, Joel, calm down there. There's no way. But alas, I mean, that's what happened tonight. It's wild.
Yeah, you have CM Punk come off to kick off the show to go on commentary. You got Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy in a great match. And then, you know, you get all the Elite to come out there. Bryan Danielson. I mean, what a way to kick off the show. So,
yeah,
awesome stuff. Just consistently awesome stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the crowd there, you know, is reacting for it all the way. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. It's 347 215-8558 if you want to get in on the conversation, 347-215-8558. A lot of folks in line right now, so a popular show. But again, if you're in the caller queue, press 1 to let me know that you want to join the show, and I will do our best to get to everybody. But time, you know, sometimes we run into time issues, so we will definitely do our best to make sure we reach everybody who's in the queue, though. If you don't want to chat with us tonight, but you're listening live, weightkillerpodcast@gmail.com is our email address. We'll be checking that throughout the show. We already have a couple good emails in there that that Joel will get to in a little bit. But weightkillerpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us an email instead of talking with us. But Joel, with that said, if you're ready to rock, man, let's go ahead and take the first call.
Let's rock and roll.
All right. We will start things off. Let's see here. We'll start things off with 705. 705, you're up first. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from tonight. 705, are you with us? Okay, 705, we're going to put you back on hold, and we'll come back, check in a little bit later. Moving on down here, 709, you are up. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening? Chris calling from Mount Pelt, Newfoundland.
Hey, Chris, good to hear from you, man. Thanks for calling. What'd you think of Dynamite tonight?
I thought this was a pretty middle-of-the-road show, to be honest. There's a couple of things that stood out, but there was nothing really that I looked at this show and I'm going to remember in 2 or 3 months' time. I think the big thing I really want to start with, though, is that Arn Anderson promo. No doubt that guy is one of the best to ever pick up a microphone in the history of the business, and he had me every step of the way, and then he had to talk about shooting someone in the face. And I know Wade went off on this on Monday night with Raw and Goldberg saying, if I'm lucky, I'll kill Lashley. And it seemed like Arn Anderson was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to out-crazy you, and I'm going to talk about randomly killing people who try to carjack me. I mean, are we not past this? Is 2021? Do we really want wrestlers talking about shooting people in the face on national TV?
You know, Chris, I thought the exact – I mean, I had the exact same – progression of thoughts that you did. I'm listening to this promo and I'm going, man, Arn is really bringing it right now. And I thought he very much was. I thought he was like crisp to the point. He came off as super serious and just was able to put over the whole story with Cody, and not just Cody, but Malachi Black too, in terms of how he framed him and kind of like the fact that Black was able to kind of just torture the Nightmare family, and he took out Arn, he took out Brock, he took out, you know, Cody, and I thought that Arn just really teed that up perfectly, and then he delivered that line about, you know, what shooting the carjacker in the head, and I'm with you, man. Like, I'm with you on that. I just, you know, I think it was great up until that point. It's like, I don't think the promo needed that. It didn't, to me, it didn't add you know, any added intensity. It kind of took me out more than anything, because it's like, you really had me believe in what you were saying here, and by the end of it, it's like, well, obviously, you know, that's just taking it a step too far, Joel. And so, you know, nothing that I think is going to derail the storyline necessarily, but just taking a great promo and making it not so great, you know, in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I very much echo what both you, Zach, and Chris have said about this, is that, you know, Arn is he is just a great promo, and he was serious. He was the right tone for this, you know, addressing, you know, what had happened last week, and really the development between him and Cody. I really liked him, actually, Zach, him calling out Cody for taking off his boots and kind of doing that faux retirement there, you know, asking him, you know, what was all that about? Kind of really being the voice of the fans a little bit, you know, being like, where have you been? You know, what is this game plan? But yeah, I mean, just hearing the line about shooting somebody in the face was just a bizarre kind of weird thing, and it was just kind of like, what? You know, it just took you out of the whole moment of it, but I don't think it ruined the promo by any means. I think that he still was intense. It got across, you know, what it was supposed to. I mean, the way that he put over Malachi Black as just this vicious person, I mean, was tremendous. I love that whole part of it. But, I think it was really good that they took the microphone away from Cody and didn't have him, because as he continues to get booed and he's moving the direction where it's like, man, I hope he is turning heel, because that's sure the way that, fans are reacting to him, is that's the direction he needs to move towards. So I'm curious to see, where how this all shakes out, and if after this program, does Malakai Black continue to, be kind of a heel role, or does he become more of a face because of, the dynamic that he has with Cody?
Yeah. Joel, do you think, like, watching Cody tonight, taking a step away from, like, the line and just talking about the angle, do you think that, what's your sense of where this is going? Was this first step in a Cody heel turn, in that he's going to, Arn is being reasonable in his kind of assessment of Cody and his analysis of, how he's been dealing with Malakai Black and just Cody in general. And then Cody's going to, just lose it on him. And that's how the heel turn happens. Or is this just a story out there in the Cody verse that's happening? And it's just the story. What's your sense watching this? Is this a means to another end that's bigger for him, or just an A to B plot line?
Yeah, it's so hard to predict with Cody, because, there's so many times in the past where we've wondered, is this the time that he's going to turn heel? It seems that this would make sense. He's changed up his look, or he's dropped this seed here. So there's been a lot of times where it seems like it's heading in that direction. But definitely at this point, with the crowd, Rochester being a lot more forceful too, in the way that they've reacted to him, that it definitely seems like he at least needs to turn heel, even if that's not the plan. And so how exactly that happens, I would assume that's got to do something with Arn Anderson, because they've had that pairing, since the very beginning here. So I could see something along the lines of him, getting frustrated with Arn and turning on him that way. But, it's still kind of, up in the air. I think that we need to see a little bit more here of, how does Cody react to this? Does he just kind of go off with Brandy and they just kind of embrace being heels because they have the new reality TV show out there? Or is he trying to do something else, like you said, within the Codyverse?
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think this is – they've had this there to go to, whenever they really needed it, whether it was – because Arn has been there. And I think that's an easy way to pull the trigger on, in my eyes, just the inevitable at this point. I don't know that you can, that you'd want to saddle a heel that a babyface Cody would be working with at this point, with that type of crowd reaction on the Cody side of things. Like, it really is going to dilute the heel's ability to get heat working with him right now, because tonight, it was loud and clear. It was kind of mixed at times, but for the most part, I thought it was just a smooth negative reaction. And it's just a matter of, at this point, figuring out, I think, how you turn him heel and then what you do next. But like I said, Joel, I don't know just the shelf life of him as a babyface anymore. I think it seemed to me tonight even more of a passionately negative response than usual.
Absolutely. And they wanted to hook people into seeing the roads to the top. And I just saw glimpses of it here in the background. And it's definitely, I don't think it's going to do him really any favors. And it's not because he's portrayed as this, awful person, but he's just kind of falls into suit with, the other people who have their reality TV shows, like the Kardashians or the Bellas or any list of people who are like that, where it's just kind of, it very becomes this self-indulgent thing, and that has been a little bit of Cody's MO, as he's been in AEW. I'm just seeing in the background so many promos, lead with him, he's put himself so front and center that I think at some point, and I think we're kind of at that point, people are just kind of tired of it, and they want to see some of the other new stars that have come to the brand, and Cody's kind of old news.
Yeah. Self-indulgence. That's a good way to put it. We look forward to your play-by-play commentary podcast on Roads to the Top, throughout the next couple of weeks. Oh man. Chris, great topic. Go ahead and obviously comment on anything that we said, given the angle, or another topic altogether.
Yeah, just briefly to follow up on that, I'm not sure that that actually pushed Cody towards a heel turn, because Arn came across more heelish than anything else. And I figured that's where Wade was tonight, is watching Roads to the Top for the inevitable VIP podcast that's coming, because he's going to be watching that closely, yeah. Probably with Todd. I'm sure that's right up his alley, too.
Yeah,
I want to talk
about
another promo, actually, and that was the Dan Lambert American Top Team Men of the Year thing. I've really been enjoying just Dan Lambert's old-school, over-the-top, bombastic, insulting heel persona, but I thought the Men of the Year promo this week, good as it was about 3 weeks too late. We have not heard until today why they are with American Top Team, what their mission statement is, why they're even teaming. They've just been sitting up in a skybox laughing at people, throwing Darby Allin downstairs, chomping on gum, which I'm sure Wade loves. And until today, we heard nothing. And they're both, well, Ethan is great on the mic. Scorpio is apparently better than I thought he was. They haven't said anything until today. And do you think it's too late for them to salvage this, or was it still just in time?
Joel, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that it's too late to salvage it. But, I mean, yeah, I agree that I've, you know, Lambert's promos have grown on me. You know, I'm not always the biggest fan of people who are just constantly running down the fans and running down AEW. But I think that Lambert's delivery and the way that he does it, you know, is a very entertaining thing. But I don't know how much he's really done to elevate the Men of the Year. I mean, it just, it's still so many weeks into this. I mean, it just feels like an odd pairing, you know, to put Dan Lambert with these two guys, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And to Chris's point, I mean, they haven't really talked about, you know, why they're with Dan Lambert, you know, what their mission is to do. And it just continues to feel like an odd, you know, thing, that it just feels like total mismatch between the two. Now, I want to see, you know, of course, how this continues to develop with Chris Jericho, but at this point, it just feels like they're putting Dan Lambert on there because they think he's entertaining, he's good, they want to have him speak on there, and then just kind of the excuse to put him on there is by pairing him, you know, with this tag team.
Yeah, I think, I'm definitely not as high on the Lambert thing as you guys seem to be. Not that it's bad, I don't know. I'm kind of like with you, Joel, on it in terms of just the constant running down of the fans and the company of, you know, the ring you're standing in, by the way. And it just seems like there's not a lot of depth or range with it. Like it's very one note in that. I don't know where Lambert. Right. It's like promo after promo. Yes. Like on the surface, they're entertaining. Right. And they're going to get heat all the time because of what he's saying, but they are week to week really similar in nature. And that's not always a bad thing, but in my opinion, you layer on top of that, you know, Lambert, while good, it comes across that he is kind of like, okay, he had this like thing to memorize and he's like somebody out there like delivering a promo that he memorized. That's how it comes off to me. Now, if this is used long-term to make sure that the Men of the Year are elevated, then I think, you know, it's a long putt that was worth the time invested in it, because I thought both guys tonight, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, really kind of showed me something on the microphone, that there's something there. And I, you know, with Lambert out there talking for them, I think seeing them promo the way they did, just hand the keys to them, like have them be kind of in control of this. Cause I think they give it more credibility than he does and give it added depth where Lambert really can't, just cause he's, you know, he's not going to ever wrestle. Right. Like I think they can give it more juice and more of a ceiling, than Lambert can. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what these guys do. I thought tonight was a good night for them. And that's not to say this promo shouldn't have been, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, because I think, Chris, you're right on the money with that. But, hey, you know, if they're going to keep being featured on TV, better late than never for this kind of thing. Chris, back to you.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things to finish up. I'm hoping I can keep my streak going of Nick from Vermont agreeing with all of my points, because he and I seem to have a share of brain for this stuff. Two quick things. If I never hear the word 16-man tag again, it will be too soon. I don't know what that was, but I don't want to see it again. And I was pretty sure Leo Rush had retired, and he probably should have stayed that way, because what on earth was that? I don't have is he Happy Corbin but more confusing? Is he Cameron Grimes but instead of incomprehensible cryptocurrency, it's something that sounds way too much like my second year economics homework? I just come in, wrestle, pretend you're charismatic, and don't talk about buying what? Just no. Just stop. Anyway, I will leave you on those two notes, gentlemen. And thanks for taking the call, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for making the call. Always good to chat with you. Yeah, Joel, Leo Rush. I mean, he was technically, I guess, if you took him at face value at the time, retired. We get a vignette from him tonight, and a post on AEW's Twitter that he's All Elite with the graphic and everything. So he's part of the company, signed to the company now. I thought that promo was weird too. I thought the delivery was okay, and just I thought he kind of played the part well. I mean, I like his work on the microphone. He comes across like with a ton of charisma, and that he can carry these kinds of things. But I was waiting for the end of this thing to kind of get to a point, and then it just ended with no real context or direction afterwards. Like, I was waiting for some kind of like graphic saying who he is and or what he's all about, and then just kind of went away. And so it called me intrigued, but not the best debut that AEW has done.
Rinse, rush, repeat, baby. I mean, he was very charismatic. I mean, I definitely could see the potential, in his delivery. Yeah. There's a unique charisma about Leo Rush, but the content of that promo, I mean, I don't know, was he talking about like money laundering or something? And then we cut to all these like beautiful skyscrapers on beaches and stuff. We got to see Miami in there. I mean, that part of it was cool, but I mean, yeah, I mean, the content of his promo was just felt really bizarre. I mean, it just was kind of like, oh, this is not like a wrestling promo. It's just kind of like random stuff. I mean, I don't know. I was kind of confused after I watched it. I'm like, man, I need to see a transcript of what actually happened here.
Yeah, like it was so strange that I really couldn't tell that if it was like part of like the show or not. Like it felt that out of place to me. I was like, is this part of the show? Did Leo Rush, did he buy time on TNT to say these words? Like, yeah, I couldn't really piece it together. I mean, here's the thing. Bottom line, that, yes, they have to iron that out, I think, for one way or the other. Unless they're going for complete and utter confusion, yes, they have to get something out there at some point next week to kind of circle back on, hey, what is Leo Rush doing here and what's the gimmick? But outside of that, though, I mean, I think that's a solid get for AEW.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not on the level of Bryan Danielson or Adam Cole, CM Punk, obviously. I mean, but at the same time, not much is in terms of free agent signings. But Rush is a guy who I think is just super underutilized. I mean, he can talk. He can have really good matches. I think he has, an attitude of just wanting to be the best and wanting to be the top guy and thinking he should be, whether that's realistic or not. I think it's, good in this industry to have kind of that chip on your shoulder. And I think he has that. And so I think he gives just a company that has two shows to fill now and has, a lot of great workers, Leo Rush coming in. I mean, that's certainly not going to hurt things.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to give you quality matches, every time that he goes out there. But I like him, as having a guy who's kind of this undersized heel, but he's very confident in himself. It's not just this underdog story that we see so much of. And I think that he can, play a valuable role that, as you said, I mean, he's not going to be, a top-tier player on the roster. But I think that, if you're looking for a guy to be able to be plugged in there, either on Dynamite or Rampage to give you some quality matches and cut a good promo before that, I think that Rush is your guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably 10 there's so many acts in that company that could have a really great match with Leo Rush. I mean, from Adam Page to Jungle Boy, Adam Cole someday, Kenny Omega. I mean, and that's just literally thinking off the top of my head in 6 seconds. Like, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there. So, but first things first, they got to get this persona ironed out. Super confusing. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's check in on our 705 call. 705, you were up first, but we didn't hear from you. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. We'll take you now. 705. All right. Sorry, 705.
Come on, man.
Moving on. There's always one, 705, always one. 541, how about you? 541, you're up next. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, Joel. Hey, Zach. Mark, VIP, Ashland, Oregon.
Mark, thanks for calling, man. Great to talk to you. What did you think of Dynamite tonight?
Well, first let me just say that I called in before you guys went live and got in the queue, and I had like a set amount of things to say. And then I listened to you, Sammy Guevara, Rusev, or blanking on his AEW name. Arn
Miro,
Anderson,
yeah.
I will say, Miro, thank you. Oh, my. And I want to get back to that. Arn Anderson, the moment he said Glock to the head, my attention went, oh, my, and elsewhere. I don't resonate with that. I agree with Wade Keller. Never talk about ending somebody's life, because that's where suspension of disbelief just completely goes away, and you've created a massive disconnect except for a very niche part of your audience. So don't do that. It's schizophrenic calling in sometimes, because, again, you guys brought up so much stuff, and the last caller brought it a lot of stuff. So I'll say this. With the Sammy Guevara match, Miro, thank you. Yes. With the Sammy Guevara Miro match, you know, what was interesting about that was, you know, I think that, and I think the CM Punk Darby Allin match kind of got parallel to this, the Razor Ramon 1-2-3 Kid. This match felt more like that to me, Sammy Guevara and Miro. And here's the thing. I completely agree. Sammy Guevara's babyface character, I don't even know what it is. There's nothing for me to invest in. But in the ring, he compensates so well, and the stories that he tells in the ring and the chemistry with Miro, off the charts. Where are they going? You know, I haven't called in months. And one of the reasons I haven't called in is because I never know what to say. I'm always, well, what's this going to look like next week? You know, hindsight 2020, you know, the future tells the story. And right now, I think back to Nitro era, you know, when there was such diversity in this huge roster and you saw unique matches every week. AEW does that. You're getting all these different styles. Cody Rhodes, Joel, mm-hmm. by the way, the self-indulgent comment, that just so immediately resonated, thought immediately back to him taking the sledgehammer to the Triple H throne. And just the separate universe that he exists in. He's such a good businessman, but I think the way that he separated himself and trying to be a unique flavor in the 31 of them kind of has backfired on him. And Arn did say a lot of things that were true, but again, the Glock, whatever. So here's my question, because I've said a lot of things, and it just stimulates so much emotion with everything you talked about in the last caller. This roster, there are two aspects to it. One, it feels like one of the best rosters, and I'm thinking, like, you know, after Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole debuted, CM Punk, it's elevated the product tremendously. And while the ratings haven't necessarily shown those results in a big way, Adam Page is a higher producing ratings guy, so to speak, because he was on a show that got better than Punk. But this roster, and think about, you know, the possibility of Kevin Steen Owens, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda coming in. This roster compared to other rosters in the history of the business, and that's why I'm calling in, actually, is because this roster feels like, okay, we're really into a brand new era of something really really big. Like, we're on the ground level of something that really is only going to grow, and we're not going to just be talking about demographics of AEW competing against Raw. It's going to get bigger than that. But from your guys' perspective,
yeah.
How does this roster compare against Nitro, Raw, Attitude Era, late 80s, WWF? You know, pick an era, pick a region. You know, how do you feel this roster compares, and how do you think that it's going to take, this roster is going to take the business to the next level? Because that's where I think it's going to do. It is going to finally get that next million, but it's going to remake them, because I don't think we're going to get lapsed fans. So what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, gosh, I mean, that's a really, I think it's a big question for sure. But on the surface, you know, I think, Mark, like, it's got the makings of a roster that's, I think, totally, totally different in terms of, like, who the wrestlers are, you know, on this roster. I don't think you can make comparisons to like the Attitude Era. Like, you don't like have a Rock or Steve Austin necessarily in terms of style. But I think what you have here is wrestlers who right now in 2021 are, you know, are some of the most popular of amongst wrestling fans, the Coles, the CM Punks, the Bryan Danielsons. And, you know, because of the difference in tone and the difference in style of the company and the show, you know, those guys have migrated to this company to kind of show off their craft a little bit. And then not only do you have this company that exists, but you have Tony Khan at the helm with money and connections to make it something bigger than just a super indie. And I think, so all those things coming together, I think matter. I think the roster has a ton of depth, which it absolutely needs. I mean, you look at that Grand Slam show from last week, and it's a loaded show, but didn't feature a multitude of top-tier talents that the company has. I mean, I think that's really, really telling in how big of a depth they have assembled. And then on top of that, I think the other thing that I would say is that at some point you have to see the ratings improve, you know, not improve, but just continue to go up. I mean, you have these new attractions like the Coles of the world and the Danielsons and the Punks and whoever else, like it does have to lead to increased viewership at some point. And I think it has, you know, a little bit out of the gate. I mean, the tide has risen a little bit on that, Joel, but you know, we have to see it continue growing, and they have to keep developing new fans. Can they do it? Absolutely. They've shown the ability to grow, you know, from a year over year basis already. But, you know, they've got a significant investment in these new guys. So we have to see the fruits of that soon enough. Joel?
Yeah, I mean, to compare this roster, I mean, to any other, you know, in history, is it's very difficult to do that. And it's for everything that you said, Zach, where it's like AEW has allowed wrestlers like this platform to be, you know, really liberated in the way that they present themselves and their characters and what they do in the ring, where they're really able to show off so much more than other promotions have allowed them in the past. You know, where it's like, if you're a really good wrestler, if you're just solid, you got a great character, you're over with the crowd, you're great on the microphone, even if people didn't see you, you know, as this big star, you have the ability to rise to the top. And so that's what allows AEW this potential to just keep adding to this roster, because they're not narrow-minded. You know, Tony Khan is, you know, willing to make changes, you know, depending on, you know, how the crowd reacts to things. And so that just makes it, you know, all the more exciting to get behind this product, because you're really allowed to see, you know, what people are able to do, you know. And I think for this to be a success, I mean, I'm enjoying, you know, the show every week. I mean, I can't remember the last show I really didn't enjoy of Dynamite. It was probably one of the ones that were preempted to Saturday nights. But I mean, they're just really hitting on all cylinders right now, where they're able to just keep adding to this roster and making it, you know, just the place to be. And so to your point, Zach, where how this is going to be a success is that they do need to keep, you know, gradually, you know, gaining viewers every week. You know, maybe they take a couple steps back there, but I mean, we can't just hit a plateau. I mean, they have to continually gradually improve, because I mean Tony Khan is spending so much money, you know, on this roster to keep it together. So in order for it to be a success, it needs to be able to get him to that second million. So I'm very excited about the future to come. I feel that, like you mentioned, Zach, that they have the right people in place. They have the right roster in place. They have the resources to be able to grow this company, you know, and make it, you know, in my eyes, I feel that it is, you know, in mainstream, I feel it is, you know, the major league. But if we're talking, you know, comparing it to WWE and eventually overcoming it, I think that, you know, in time, I think that, it's more than likely that that is going to happen.
Well said. Well said. Mark, thanks very, very much for the topic and for the call. I have to jump to our on-site correspondent here, man. Appreciate it. Call again.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. All right. We are going to hop over to our on-site correspondent who is live in the building tonight. So let's click over to him. Jeff, is that you? Are you there?
I am here, Zach. How are you?
Good, good, Jeff. Thanks for letting us know that you were in the building tonight. We didn't have an on-site correspondent lined up until you came on board. So very much appreciated. Let's get started, man. What was the crowd like? What was the energy like? Was it a full building tonight?
It was. The majority was full. There was a couple of sections around the hard cam that were empty, but pretty much everything was, there was a person every 18 inches. Atmosphere was outstanding. It was loud all night. The crowds were with the baby faces. They were against the heels. There wasn't too much going back and forth. It was an awesome crowd.
Yeah, you guys definitely sounded you sounded loud on television. That's for sure. Talk a little bit about the Brody Lee factor. Obviously, this was a tribute show in a lot of ways. Was the audience kind of privy to that and behind that kind of message and tone of the show?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. There was Brody Lee signs everywhere. I made sure I had my shirt on tonight. There was several others. The Brody chants were loud at the beginning of the night, and they lasted all night. It was he was supposed to make his debut when we originally had the show last March, but COVID kind of changed that, and we made sure we made up for it.
yeah, man. All right, well, let's get into some nuts and bolts of the show here real quick. We haven't talked about this match too much, which is a bit surprising because I thought it was a really good match. But Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy, I mean, seemed like a hot match. But what I'm curious about is, both guys, I mean, obviously you have a heel babyface dynamic there with Jungle Boy as the babyface, Adam Cole as the heel, but man, Cole seemed like he got a huge pop. Talk about the different reactions to both of those guys coming out for that match.
Yeah, Adam Cole, baby, I think took my voice away at the start of the night. So Adam Cole was over. I was shocked at how over he was. I mean, you hear the reactions on TV, but hearing it in person, it shook. But Jungle Boy was getting equal reactions. It wasn't as loud, but there was some dueling chants going.
So was Adam Cole able to turn kind of the crowd at all? Like by the end of the match, like I mean, there was some boos there for some spots, but I mean, did people want to see him lose, like the heel lose, or did people, were they just fully on board with Adam Cole?
I think they were fully on board with Adam Cole. They popped loud for the three count, and it was, he really didn't do much to try to turn us, though, so there was that.
Wow. Interesting. Joel, go ahead with a couple questions for Jeff here.
Yeah, so Jeff, don't spoil anything, but was the Bryan Danielson versus Nick Jackson match just amazing? And if you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing on the phone with us?
No, I stayed for that and called you after that got done. That, definitely watch Friday.
Okay. All right. And who got the blouse pop of the night? Was it Adam Cole?
Loudest of the night, other than the Brody chant, I think might have been, now I'm drawing a blank here. Oh, that's not good. who was it? CM Punk, when he first came out at the beginning of the night going to the entrance table. That was the loudest of the night.
Cool. So I also want to ask just a couple other follow-up questions as well. So the Arn Anderson promo, I mean, it was good stuff from Arn. He was serious. He put over Malakai Black. But, you know, kind of one of the off-putting things of watching that was when he talked about, pulling a Glock and shooting somebody in the face. I mean, that was just really off-putting watching that on television. What was the reaction to that in the building?
I couldn't hear much of Arn's promo because it was loud in the section around me, but when he put the fingers up to Cody's head, there were some cringe moments. That was a little rough.
Yeah, did it take people like totally out of the moment, or were they still like invested into the segment?
People were still invested, but a lot of people were turning away and kind of tuning out after that. My section was really hard to hear Arn.
Okay. And people, I mean, on TV too, I mean, it heard like it was a lot of boos for Cody. I mean, was that most of the people in the arena that were cheering booty? booing Cody. were most of the people booing Cody? And were people, like, confused as to why other people were booing him, or was this pretty much, like, the consensus that people were against him?
It was pretty much the majority of the crowd was against him. I know there was a huge sign down out in front that said Cody's a sellout. There were a lot of boos when his music first hit. And, yeah, it was... I think there was a pretty loud Cody sucks chant, so yeah, we were pretty against Cody tonight.
Okay. And then I want to ask you about the Lio Rush promo. So I mean, it was cool to see Lio Rush, that he's a part of AEW, but did you guys see that video package in the building? And what was the reaction amongst people there? Were they just excited to see Lio Rush, or were they kind of scratching their heads as to what he was even talking about?
There was a lot of what's he talking about. There was a lot of, is this an infomercial for like a 1-900 number? Then I heard a couple of people ask, didn't he retire? There was a lot of confusion when he came on.
I see.
Okay, so it wasn't just us then. So that's good, Joel. I can sleep easy tonight. Jeff, what about the Elite? You know, they had a pretty big segment right out of the Adam Cole match. I mean, we got really all the players in the ring together between Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Cole Danielson was out there. I mean, talk about Kenny Omega a little bit. I mean, did you guys in the building react like to him as if he were, you know, a big world champion star, or was it more about the ensemble of the Elite that was the allure of the segment?
When they all came out, I noticed Kenny right off the bat. He definitely seemed more of a star than the rest of the group, minus Adam Cole. But when Danielson started cutting the promo, everybody was eating out of Brian's hand, and we were all against the Elite. So they didn't hold us that long. There was a lot of cheers when their music hit when they first came out, but that turned real quick.
Yeah. What about the flow of the show? I thought it was very much a good show top to bottom, but the first, you know, 30-40 minutes were pretty like a blistering pace. I mean, it went from Cole and Jungle Boy to the Elite promo segment, then you had the tag team match with Cody, and then the Arn promo, and then after that you kind of had the thing with the Dark Order, an FTR deal, the women's tag team match, another promo. So was the show able to kind of sustain momentum all the way through, or did it kind of calm down after that first kind of jolt of energy at the beginning?
It calmed down a little bit. That massive tag match that I don't even know who all was in that kind of came off real flat, and the women's tag came off a little flat, but they picked right back up for the main event. That was something.
So talk about that a little bit. How did
that was amazing. Right. That was probably the most fun I've had at a wrestling show ever. That was definitely the favorite title change that I've seen in person. I lost my mind for that three count. Our section was jumping up and down. We were chanting Sammy most of the night. Like we were all in on that Sammy Guevara.
Was the rest of the building? I mean, did he get a big pop coming out before the title change?
Yeah, he got a good pop coming out for his entrance. Miro did too. That kind of surprised me of how the crowd reacted to Miro. He was getting cheers. They were dueling Miro chant.
Yeah.
There was a "We Want Lana" chant at one point that kind of followed back with "No, we don't." So that was kind of funny, but. That match was wild. We were loud for it, bell to bell, and it was a good time.
Yeah, good. last question: where were you sitting? Like, I like to always get a perspective of kind of where our on-site correspondent saw all this from. Where were your seats?
I was sitting two rows up, pretty much right off the stage. If you're looking for the stage, I was just to the right of it. I was so close, I was feeling the heat off the pyros. That was unbelievable.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great. Great seats.
Yeah.
Did you have tickets to this show, you know, from the very beginning, like back when it was originally supposed to run, or was there something that kind of piqued your interest that, oh, okay, I got to go see this now?
Oh, no, I had them back in January 2020. I got the refund not knowing when the show was actually going to be, so I rebought the tickets about a month ago. But, yeah, I've been all Elite since day one, so I was ready to see them in person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool. Joel, any other questions for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, was there anything else, you know, either before or after Dynamite? I mean, of course, don't spoil anything on Rampage, but, you know, really, is there anything before Dynamite that was, you know, noteworthy that you want to bring up? Any big pops, anything that was, you know, unique or stood out to you?
I was kind of surprised at how many matches they taped for Elevation. There was 11 matches even before Dynamite started. So that was kind of surprising, but other than that, it was kind of how I expected it. So it was a great night.
Good deal, man.
Awesome. Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thanks for providing some really good insight on all the happenings. Glad you had a really good time and get home safe, man.
Yes, thank you. And real quick, I was recently looking for a new job, and thanks to PW Torch, I could expand my search. I might have an hour commute, but hanging out with Zach and Wade every day, it's awesome. If you guys don't go VIP, you can't call yourself a wrestling fan.
Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the kind words.
Yes.
PWTorch.com/GoVIP. That's PWTorch.com/GoVIP to check us out. Like Jeff said, it's always good to hear from current customers on the the wonder that is VIP membership. Let's get back to the phone lines here. The phone number is, if you want to get in quickly, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. We will go to 434 next and then 347 after that. 434, you are up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Keith from Virginia.
Keith, great to talk to you, man. What did you think of Dynamite tonight?
I thought it was pretty good. I just had a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Let's see.
Yeah.
The Arn promo, I didn't really have a problem with it. And, you know, I've heard Wade, you know, give his anecdote that he heard from Scott Hall about how you shouldn't talk about trying to kill your opponent, which is true. So that's not what Arn was saying. I know it, you know, it takes people out, but to me it just added to the intensity. He wasn't talking about killing anybody in the ring. He talked about if somebody, I feel crazy even saying this, but somebody carjacking him, he was going to shoot him. Now, it was a little out there, but I didn't really have an issue with it as far as going too far, because I think that's something Arn probably would say. there'd be differing opinions on that.
Well, it's a point well taken. A point well taken on like the content or the context of how he used that. I mean, because you're right. He wasn't saying, hey, you know, Cody, you need to, you know, shoot Malachi Black or something. You know, it wasn't like Goldberg-esque in that regard. He was kind of parlaying it into a different context, Joel. But I mean, for me, it still kind of took me out. But I think it's a fair point in that, hey, you know, there is nuance there in terms of he wasn't talking about his opponent. But I think ultimately, though, I think you want to keep shooting people in the head from promos, period, regardless of whether it's about your opponent or not.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Keith, that, you know, if not, he wasn't saying go shoot Malachi Black or anything like that. And that's not even really what we're suggesting with it. It's that it was just so jarring, you know, to have something pretty visual and kind of graphic, you know, within this promo that it just was kind of like, huh? Like, where did that kind of come from? And it just is just kind of off-putting with it, but it didn't by any means ruin the promo for me.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that, you know, kind of distinction. If it's okay, I'll sort of get on a parallel track. I watched a good chunk of Rose to the Top, and
heck yeah,
there's a lot of things that can be said about that show. Well, first of all, Sammy's promo during the break. He basically set up a match between himself and Bobby Fish next week. And I didn't see that
Bobby
coming.
Fish?
So, yes,
okay.
Bobby
Interesting.
Fish.
Okay. Okay.
So that should be interesting. That should get a little buzz going.
Keith, one second. So what was the context of that? I mean, did he announce him as it's going to be Bobby Fish, or did Bobby Fish come out and cut a promo? Like how did that, what was the context behind Fish coming in as opponent? Like, was it an open challenge or how was it set up?
It was a text message. Actually, he was doing an interview with Tony Schiavone and, you know, they had Fuego del Sol out there, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, being happy that he won, and, you know, the usual champion rah-rah. And he said, as a matter of fact, he held up his phone, got a text from Bobby Fish. He didn't even work here, but you know what? He wants a challenge for this belt, so that's what we're going to do. And then Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page came and, you know, kind of ran him down and said, we want that title, and you're fighting guys from other companies, but, you know, we want a chance. And that was basically it.
Okay. Interesting.
And he said, fine. He said, fine. Bobby Fish is next week. You guys are after that.
Okay.
But as far as the show itself, maybe I'm old fashioned. I don't know, but Rose to the Top was, yes, it was about Cody and Brandy, but a lot of it was about AEW backstage. In fact, I'd say like 60% of it was that, and then the other 40% was about just them alone. And I just don't like that. I don't. You had Jade Cargill and Brandy in her office talking about her match. And I'm like, what are you doing? Provide some illusion, please. I know this generation is all about, you know, exposing everything that goes on, but I just don't think it's good for the product to watch in this. If this is going to air every week after Dynamite, you're going to watch the show, and then you're going to turn around and have them tell you everything you watched wasn't real. I just don't see the point of that. You had
I want to take that for a minute because that's a really good point, and I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm very much with you on that. I think, look, it's a different work, you know, different time for wrestling for sure in that regard. You know, not just the old kayfabe is dead kind of thing, but it is different. I mean, you have people on social media right now acting different than their characters. I mean, it's there, and I think, you know, there are issues with that, but I mean, literally this show is airing right after Dynamite, Joel. Mm-hmm. And if I'm like AEW and Tony Khan, I mean, on one hand, look, you know, I'm sure they're making some good money for this show, you know, and there's a business part of this, and maybe that makes it worth it for them. You know, I don't know, but at the same time, I mean, this running right out of Dynamite and into that show where you're going to kind of pull the curtain back and then try to, you know, get a character like Malakai Black over, or, you know, feature Jade Cargill as this super heel, or, you know, and whatever else they end up doing. I'd be careful with that. I mean, I would just be careful. It's not to say, hey, yeah, don't do it. I don't want to be that naive, you know, analyst saying, hey, you know, everything's got to be separate, because it doesn't necessarily work that way, but they should be careful. And, you know, I think Jade Cargill and Brandi Rhodes having this, you know, happy-go-lucky conversation. I haven't seen the set.
Here's a good example of that. So I'm watching it in the background right now on the replay, and here's what's happening. So Darby Allin, just as not Darby Allin, the character, Darby Allin, the guy, is smiling and grinning, and he's just talking with Cody about their match that they had a while back. You know, and I've not seen Darby Allin in that context before. You know, I've never met him at a meet and greet or anything like that. But the Darby Allin I know is the Darby Allin that I see on Dynamite. And now I've just kind of seen him in this totally different light. And now it kind of, you know, changes the way I kind of see him a little bit, you know, just as this smiling guy hanging out with Cody, having a good time. And, you know, I don't know how much, like, actual effect it's going to have on, like, I don't think it's going to lead to, like, you know, less people watching, less people interested, but it definitely is going to change the way that people, you know, perceive some of these characters, you know, because there is being the elite, you know, which gives you, you know, a background, you know, to some of these guys. So we're used to seeing Cody outside the ring. We're used to seeing the elite and a lot of those guys. But as far as like the really protected characters like Darby Allin, I mean, like I said, I don't know how it's going to affect business, but it's really just something I don't want to see. You know, I don't want to see like John Moxley as just normal dude. I want to see him as wrestler John Moxley. I don't want to see, you know, Darby Allin as just the guy talking with Cody, smiling, talking about their match, you know? So, I mean, that stuff is just going to take a little bit of the investment out of it for me, but, you know, I don't foresee myself watching, you know, past this first episode in the background.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I mean, very well said. I mean, that's the issue. You know, you just, and I'm with you. I don't think that it's going to cause people to leave. I mean, it might be do the opposite. I mean, it might attract more viewers to
it. Might
people that are interested, you know, it's not that it's necessarily you know, bad for business in that way. But as you said, and you hit the nail on the head, Joel, it just, you know, depending on how it's done and where they're careful and where they're not, it will change the perception that you have of these stars. Like, you know, for example, I'm sure they won't go down.
MJF backstage.
MJF, exactly.
Yep. They just showed him backstage smiling.
Yeah. See, like, you know, and he's been very protective of his gimmick and of the act. So yeah, you know, something definitely to watch, you know, for sure. And I think if I'm Tony Khan, yes, you probably want to say yes and greenlight this show, but you know, you should keep an eye on those things, because they may not matter, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, but you know, the next time you try to get over this big act or a big feud, and you can't, you know, tap into just those characters because there's all these other perceptions out there, you know, shows like this are going to be, you know, why that exists. Keith, it's a great point. I'm with you, but back to you for another topic or comment.
I was just going to say, he was talking about Darby Allin and Cody talking backstage. But the first time they actually talked, it was even worse than that, because Cody said, Darby's going to lose the TNT title tonight, and he's going to help put somebody over just like I did him. And I was like, oh, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't think there's any coincidence that MJF is possibly the hottest heel out there, and he's a guy who goes out of his way to protect his character. You'll never see him not being MJF. Even if you're a fan at a convention or something, he'll talk down to you. And I don't understand why people can't see that there's money in that. It's working for him so well, and he's not the best in-ring guy in the world. So anyway, that was basically all I had. And you guys have a great rest of the show.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Appreciate your call and insight on the Sammy promo. I've been hoping somebody would do that while we're on the air. So appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right.
Yeah,
that does it. Yep. Thanks, Keith. That does it for our caller portion here, Joel. We're going to jump into the email bag here in a quick second. But before we do, I want to just get your take quickly, because it's on my mind right now, and I don't want to forget to talk about this. You had this Bryan Danielson, Kenny Omega confrontation, for lack of a better word. Danielson wants a rematch. Omega's not going to give it to him. Okay, Danielson said he's going to just take on a member of the Elite instead. You know, where are they going with this? Like, are they going to turn around and run it back at Full Gear? I mean, where do you see the trajectory of this, and kind of where do the roads lead, given what was said out there tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I sure think so. I think that's the match that people still most want to see. I mean, as I've said multiple times before, is that Danielson versus Kenny Omega is really the first, like, legitimate dream match I can think of in a while of somebody crossing over to a new promotion and, you know, getting a lot of interest in the wrestling world. I don't know exactly how much, you know, the mainstream are into it, but especially amongst wrestling fans, I mean, that is, you know, a spectacular matchup. And so I think that's definitely the direction that they're going to, is that they're going to have to run that one back. You know, and I think that's what they've been setting up here, is that they're going to do that multi-tag match, you know, next week for their anniversary show. You know, Danielson might go through some other members of the Elite, like he is this Friday. He's going to be facing Nick Jackson, so maybe we get a match against Matt Jackson or some of the other guys in the Elite. I'm sure, you know, Brandon Cutler will get his time to shine, and maybe Nakazawa will take off the khakis for a moment. So I think he's going to go through some of those guys, and then it seems to make sense that, you know, Full Gear would be that spot, which makes me very sad, because Full Gear will be in my hometown. You know, an AEW pay-per-view in my hometown is a dream come true, but unfortunately with timing, I will not be at that show. So I hope, Zach, that match is not happening at Full Gear, because that's just going to be gut-wrenching. But I tend to think that's the direction that they're heading, because then the week after is they're advertising for Hangman Page to be in his hometown in Virginia. So I could see something along the lines of, you know, Danielson puts up a good fight against Omega, maybe some heel tactics leads to Omega retaining that championship, and then maybe Hangman Page makes his triumphant return at the end of that pay-per-view, and then that's where we, you know, kick back into that storyline between those two guys.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's how it's going to go too. I think they're going to have, you know, the TV for the next couple of weeks is going to see Danielson kind of roll through, you know, the Elite. I wonder if they try to pop a rating and do, you know, Danielson and Adam Cole on the way to that match. I don't know, but you know, I think that's smart business, Joel. You know, you got this hot match. People want to see it again. Sometimes, you know, you just don't want to get too cute. And I think this is like a logical next step. And then you can pivot to Adam Page after that. And so I've got no problem with this. I think, you know, Danielson and Omega have got some really good chemistry out there together. Mm-hmm. And I continue to like their segments and both, I think, elevate the star power in the other. And I think that's key.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's just the hot match that people want to see. So like they say, strike while the iron is hot, you know, run this one back. And then Kenny Omega can get his win over him. You know, he becomes a little bit stronger as champion. And then that's where you can just segue right back into that Adam Page storyline. And I truly believe that. I don't think that Adam Page has lost anything. I think that the way that they wrote him off originally was, it seems to me, kind of like the best way they could have done it, because I think that when he comes back, it's going to be to a massive pop.
Yeah, yep. I do too. Okay, very good. Like I said, we're going to end the caller portion of the show there. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to our on-site correspondent, Jeff. Just really great calls, really great topics. And from there, Joel and I are going to move on to the mailbag here in a couple minutes.